From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you once again to Let the Bible Speak, as we continue our study of the law of God. For a number of weeks now, I have been engaged in an overseas preaching tour. That has led to a temporary change in the format of the program, as I haven't been able to record the commentaries on the hot topics that we usually cover here on Let the Bible Speak. However, the change may actually have been a benefit, as the temporary format has given us a lot more time to devote to each day's Bible study. And that's helpful in our present study of the law of God. As we continue that study, we come today to consider the full force of the Ten Commandments. So, stay tuned for today's broadcast. Many of you have been good enough to write or call us to express your gratitude for the program. I have been greatly heartened by your response, which is vital for the continuation of any radio ministry. This is a two-way street, and it's essential that we hear from our listeners to know that the Lord is blessing and using His Word. We try to make good, helpful resources available to you free of charge, and I trust that you will be able to avail yourself of them. Remember the various special messages on cassette or CD that we have mentioned, for example, The Lives of the Great Reformers and Dr. Edward Panosian's message on Islam. Remember also our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, which always makes good reading. And, of course, our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart that will come to you each month. You may obtain any or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. Remember our website, ltbsradio.com, ltbsradio.com. There you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, our commentaries, both in audio and text versions, and, of course, our internet bookstore. And there also, you can email me directly. You can use the ltbsradio.com site to send your emails to me. So make sure to visit us today.
Praise the Lord. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We're going to read some verses starting at verse 17 to the end of verse 30, and then the final verse of the chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker, and he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thine right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious and infallible word for his name's sake. There is nothing better calculated to puncture the pride of man than a clear understanding of what we call the Ten Commandments. What the Hebrew Scriptures call the Ten Words, those summary words that God has given, in which he sets forth, in a very abbreviated fashion, man's entire moral duty. In the Ten Commandments, God shows us himself. And in the Ten Commandments, God shows us ourselves. That's not really something that the normal person in the street, the general run of mankind, wants to hear. None of us likes to think of himself as being really just as wicked as he really is. Doesn't want to think he's as wicked as the Scriptures would make him out to be. There is something in every one of us that makes even the most self-confessed sinner want to find some trace of goodness in Himself. We listen to the law of God. And even while we acknowledge that we don't quite measure up to its standards, we try to evade its full force. That's what the Pharisees did. They had so restricted the meaning and application of the law of God that they could comfortably persuade themselves that they were keepers of the law of God. They even boasted of their obedience to the law of God. And indeed they appealed to that law as the ground of their justification, and could see no reason why a holy God would not receive them for all eternity, because they were such good keepers of His law. But the Lord Jesus Christ would not allow them the comfort of such a delusion. And thus, in this passage of Scripture, He brings the Ten Commandments into very sharp focus in order to make every one of them and every one of us feel the full force of the message of these Ten Commandments. That's exactly what I want us to do tonight. I want us to take a few minutes to follow the teaching of the Savior here. Because as I understand Matthew 5 and its exposition of the law of God, I think that it's telling very, very clearly that a true understanding of the full force of the Ten Commandments will do two things. It will first save us from the damning delusion of self-righteousness. And second, it will confirm us in the faith of the gospel of Christ's imputed righteousness. So a very true understanding of the full force of the Ten Commandments is a vital study as we proceed to think upon the law of God. Tonight then, the subject is very simple, and yet, in another way, it is very profound. The full force. And I want you to underline those words. It is my prayer as we come to this message tonight that God will take us beyond the superficial. That God will get under your skin and under my skin. Superficial religion is the curse of America tonight. Superficial religion is damning its millions across this country and across the world tonight. It is my heart prayer that God will get to the depths of our being to show us the depths of His truth, bring us to see the full force of His commandments. Now, as a preliminary, I want to do a little bit of reminding. Those of you who have good memories will remember that way fairly early in this series of messages in the law of God, we spent an evening considering what is normally called the spirituality of the law. And I need to remind you of that as we proceed, before we get to the heart of the message tonight. Can I say, as you read Matthew 5, clearly, there is a surface meaning in the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, there is a simplicity that nobody can misunderstand. The language is plain, it is down to earth. God has not cloaked these fundamental commandments in the language of philosophy or difficult theology. God has set them forth in such a way that we may teach them to little children, and little children can grasp the surface meaning of the Ten Commandments. The first commandment teaches clearly that there is only one God. There is only one God. And God demands that you should worship Him. The first commandment absolutely undermines the theory that is so prevalent today, that you worship the God with whom you feel comfortable, that you manufacture a God after your own imagining. No, no, there is but one God, the living and the true God. And He commands you to worship Him. The second commandment makes it clear that He commands you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That He commands you to worship Him not according to your imagination, not according to your feeling, but according to the revelation that He has given in His Word. He commands that there will be no physical representations of Himself in worship. That's the second commandment. No physical representations of your God are allowable. You worship God spiritually and scripturally. That's the commandment. The third commandment has to do with the holy name of God. And in that commandment, the Lord condemns as guilty all who use His name profanely. All who use His name in any way other than in genuine heart worship of the Lord. In the fourth commandment, He tells us He has given to us a weekly Sabbath that we must observe. In the fifth commandment, He tells us that children should honor their parents. The sixth tells us that murder is a crime against God. And according to the seventh, so is adultery. And according to the eighth commandment, so is theft. The ninth commandment tells us that we are each to speak truth with his neighbor. While the last commandment, which in many ways, if you invert the order, is the basis of all our trouble in the world, the breach of it, that is, we are to remain free from covetousness. We are to have no envy in our heart. I think you could well see that when a man breaks the tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet, it is that that leads to the breach of every other commandment. Now this is the law of God. It's simple, it's plain. As I say, it's so understandable that even a child can grasp it. This is the surface message. And this surface message is wide-ranging and it's heart-searching. It covers our duty to God. The first four commandments deal with our duty to God. The next six commandments deal with our duty to man. Not that actually you can divorce them like that, because you can't do your duty to man without doing your duty to God. You can't be true in your duty to God without it spilling over into your relationships with man. But for ease of understanding, the first four commandments deal with our duty to God, His worship, His honor, and His day. The next commandments deal with our duty to man, his person, his station in life, his safety, his property, and his reputation. All these are in the very clear, simple meaning of the Ten Commandments. So there's a surface meaning. Thou shalt and thou shalt not. But the meaning goes a lot deeper than that. Because there's clearly a spiritual meaning. Did you notice as we read tonight in Matthew 5, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said. And then he would quote one of the laws. But I say unto you.
Now, it's not that the Lord Jesus was changing the law of Moses. I remember speaking to a Mormon many years ago, and they said, well, you would accept, wouldn't you, that in Matthew 5, Jesus was giving a higher standard than the Old Testament standard of morality. That he took that standard and then he raised it up for New Testament believers. Of course, that's nonsense. That's not what he was doing. What the Lord Jesus was doing was taking the law of Moses, setting it before the people, then throwing away the Pharisaical interpretation of the law and saying, this is what Moses' law really means. This is the true scope of the law. The psalmist, you will remember, once said of the Lord, thy commandment is exceeding broad. And in Matthew 5, the Lord Jesus shows us just how broad. You can read here and discover that every commandment has a positive and a negative part to it. When the commandment sets forth a precept, then it implies a prohibition. When it sets forth a prohibition, it implies a precept. When you look at what Jesus said, it's very clear that each sin prohibited and every virtue commanded not only has the surface meaning, but it also includes all actions of the same kind and nature, together with all the means that lead us to those actions. Let me explain. Thou shalt not kill, or as Moses also puts it, thou shalt do no murder. We can understand. Murder is the illegal depriving of a person of his life. Thou shalt do no murder. But the Lord Jesus says there are related breaches of that commandment. There are people who have never stuck a knife in anybody's back. They have never blown away anybody's brains. They have never put the poison cup to anybody's lips. But yet, they have been guilty of the same crime. Because God's commandment, thou shalt not kill, takes in things of the same nature. And he includes causeless rage and wrath. How often have you been in such a rage that if you could have killed and got away with it, you would have done it? Jesus puts that under the crime of murder. How often people harbor in their heart a hatred. It may be based on race or color or culture. That's one of the buzzwords in America in the 20th century. Culture is the cover for most of the iniquity that goes on today. Culture. I don't want to get off on that tangent, otherwise we'll never get back to the subject. How often that is the cause of hatred or envy or jealousy or spite or some other malice. The Word of God says that when you hate, you kill. How often Jesus touches on this very clearly in Matthew 5. The people do not indulge a lust, but they fantasize that lust. Jesus says that is as morally filthy. I don't misunderstand him. He is not saying that in its results on earth, it is equal to the act. Obviously, if you only think of killing someone, he's still alive. If you actually kill him, he's dead. But in its moral corruption before God, All these things of the same nature come under his condemnation. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.